On this week's episode of the We've Seen That podcast, we're talking about American Psycho. I'm Scott.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim.
Music. We are back, and by we I mean the three of us. As Anthony just said before we started recording, we're on two in a row right now. And as one of my favorite sports movies ever says in Major League, we've won two in a row. If we get to three in a row, it will be a winning streak. So we're almost there, boys. We're almost there.
It's getting to a turkey at that point.
Yeah. So I got one thing I want to talk about before we get into the show. So we're finally at that time of year where this, you know, spring is right on the doorstep. Like the weather is like kind of in between, whatever. This today was the start of it to me because birds woke me up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm pissed.
What a terrible way to wake up.
Already pissed about it.
Because and this is the second straight episode I'm drinking coffee, actually. It used to be beer when we started. It has fully transitioned to just coffee now, but this is because I woke up at 4:30. So I'm dragging slightly this episode, but I think I'll be okay. So,
all your energy was spent on the shenanigans last episode.
There were some shenanigans, yes. There are no more because we're just trying to get back on a regular schedule here. And hell, what a movie to do it. And we've got a big one to talk about. But for what we're watching, I can start. I only touched on it a little bit last week, but Cassie and I have been big on Designated Survivor. This is who's the actor? I can't think of it right now, but he's very famous, and it's bad that I can't think. Whatever.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Is it Kiefer?
Kiefer Sutherland. And this show is such a typical like president show where it's like, well, everything's good for about 5 minutes each second, and then they're like, oh my god, sir, everything's about to blow up. But why I wanted to talk about it this week, so we watched three episodes. One episode was talking about a pandemic that spread. This was 2017, and I was like, god damn it. Well, that's one.
Yeah.
And then the next one was talking about truckers not completing their routes, which this did happen in Canada, like I think like 3 months ago or something. So that was another episode. And then I forgot what the third one was, but I was like, is America just that predictable? Like, are we just that dumb? Is that what this show kind of pointed out? Because it's all in 2017. Like, none of this had happened yet. And yeah, it's pretty shocking that I'm basically watching our country events that this was recorded 5 years ago. It's pretty crazy. Especially the funny thing though was like for the flu one, they were like, oh, it's okay, it's in some small city, and actually highways can't even access it. So I thought about that for a while. What does that even mean? Like, what?
Less traffic in and out to spread it, I guess so.
But like, as we learned with COVID, all it takes is like one person on a plane. But no, they contained it and everything was fine for them. So should have taken Kiefer's advice, is what.
Yeah, we should have all just watched the episode of Designated Survivor 100%. On how to handle the COVID pandemic.
And I would
should
bet
have been
that
sent out by the CDC in our emails.
Yes.
I would bet that maybe 0.5% of America watched that episode. So, you know, some of us were ready. I wasn't one of them. So that's actually basically all I watched. I mean, I watched a little of the NFL draft and, you know, that's not really that fun or anything like that. Watch the Bucks finish off the Bulls. I was in Milwaukee for it. It was the least intense playoff game I've ever seen. I mean, they're like, we kicked the living shit out of them that game, and it felt like a regular season game, so that was kind of cool. But yeah, that's my what we're watching. So, Anthony, let's go to you.
Right.
Pause. Anthony's got a really cool hat on here, Jim. Jim, you do too. Oh, yeah. I like your guys' hats today. Yeah, that is nice. What is that? What's that?
It's a We don't know what that brand is.
That's Travis
Matthew.
Matthew, finest quality, maybe. Established in 2007. This is really bad podcasting. Boys, you got.
I know, but it's a sweet golf hat.
It's a really nice hat. I like that. And Jim, yours looks like I love traveling. I love that hat. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I like the outdoorsy type hats.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Huge hat, guys.
Huge. Here. Huge.
Love it. No, I'm just keeping up to date with Better Call Saul. Episode 3 aired this week. Crazy shit went down. If you guys aren't watching that out in the world, you guys probably should. Scott, I know you're a huge Breaking Bad guy, so you should probably get around to Better Call Saul at some point.
Should I go Succession or Better Call Saul?
You really going to put that
evil on me? Those are the hard questions.
Well, I mean, I need help here, guys. This is what people listen for. What are we going to next?
I don't know. You should probably watch Succession because it's quicker. There's not as many episodes.
All right.
Only 3 seasons.
Anyway, continue. I apologize. But,
yeah, no. Hey, if I get you to watch that show, Adam and I did something right, at least.
I'll give
him all the credit.
I'll get there.
But it's great. Episode 3 was crazy. Can't wait to see what happened next. Then I went way back. I don't know if I've ever talked about this movie on here before, but I watched 2001 A Space Odyssey from 1968.
Oh.
Directed by Stanley Kubrick. That movie is fucking amazing. It's borderline a mute film because I think there's, of like the 2 hour and 15 minute runtime or something, I think 88 minutes of it there's like zero dialogue. Oh,
wow. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. Sure.
It's fucking crazy, but it is a visual masterpiece for the time, I'd willingly say, and just the entire mystique about it and the way that Kubrick just pulled it off is just incredible. And obviously it's pretty terrifying because it's like a super smart computer that's basically the villain of the whole movie, and then it just is basically the creation of man.
Wow.
And a giant space baby at the
end. Good lord.
It's a fucking trip, but it's amazing. The score is awesome. Very iconic. But yeah, I love that movie. I watch it every now and then. It's great.
Okay.
I haven't watched it in a long time, but I actually came in much lower on the score. Did you say your score on this
one? You did not.
Oh, I put it in the thing. I think it's a 10.
Whoa!
For me. I just love it. Yeah. It's awesome. I'm a huge Kubrick guy.
I watched this one a long time ago and gave it a 6 out of 10. Makes me want to revisit it, but I'm not sure that I want the time commitment.
It can be a tough sit.
Because I remember it feeling like a fucking slog.
Yeah. There's not much to it, but in the first 30 minutes is literally just a bunch of, like, apes learning how to become smart and beat up other apes with
then, like, a big old fucking pillar just shows
old
up.
Old animal bones. Yeah, because this monolith showed up and taught him to be smart.
That's where people came from.
Man evolved from there. So it's pretty wild. It's a classic, though. It actually sparked many controversies and, you know, myths that we never actually went to the moon, but Kubrick just filmed all that footage for NASA. Just to make it look like we did.
I could see it.
Well, okay. So I, cool. Anthony, I have to ask. Are you sure you haven't been watching Terminator 2?
No, I just listened
okay,
to the music.
Okay, so Anthony and I have on Spotify, we have one of those blend playlists. And I've been using...
Did it show
I've
up
I've been
on
using
there?
This for my workout music. And so this morning, I'm on like song number 5, and I just hear... Doo, 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 doo. And I'm like, what the fuck? So it was way up on our list, Anthony. So you've been listening to this a lot.
Well, I sent you that one Snapchat the one day I listened to it for 25 minutes straight doing shoulders and abs.
It's cool. It's just nothing wrong with it.
On repeat.
I got a high opinion of yourself, fucking Arnie, in the gym.
Yeah.
I was, well, it's the music, dude. I love T2. That might be... There's a short list of favorite movies of all time, and it's on there.
All sure. right, Jimmer, round us off.
Okay, so we've continued watching True Blood. The quality has dropped off dramatically.
Oh, no.
We are in season 4 or 5 now, and woof.
I mean,
it's always been like a campy vampire, werewolf, witches, werewolves. I said werewolves already, but you know what I mean. And it zoinks. This last couple of episodes have been really rough.
So bringing up vampires here just for a second, can you think of any show ever that's actually involved a vampire or movie that actually has been good?
Interview with a Vampire.
Okay. But, like, I was thinking Twilight. That's a flop. That's an absolute flop.
The first one is not bad.
Van Helsing.
That was the best of the books, probably.
Yeah.
Underworld.
Underworld's good.
Underworld also good.
I like Underworld.
And that's due to a lot of good, like, monster design.
Do you think that it's because, like, in the vampire shows, they just make these people incredibly attractive? Because that's what's going on in True Bloods here as well, right?
That's definitely become
some
a trope
of them, yeah.
Of the
There's some of them
show.
That are kind of ugly.
Hey, Mr. Adam brought this up, and we've never brought this up on the podcast, did we? About his theory about vampires, like. Did he send you these?
I'm struggling to remember what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, when we were in the group chat about how they get
blood. So Adam was always under the impression that the teeth had a little, like, sucking mechanism on the tip of the tooth.
Oh, that the teeth were hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he never thought of the idea that they just bit and sucked the blood out with their mouth, which I don't know if I'm out.
Which is supported by True Blood because they have bottles of blood and they knock them back like beers, you know, or out of a glass. So I mean, it's not like they're sitting there just, you know, putting their teeth into the rim of their glass, you know, slurping it up.
I respect
that's what I'm saying. That I think that means
that guy has
his brain.
I would have never even had that thought never crossed my mind. It works differently. He thought of both ways, you know. I was like, you know what, that
we're just sitting
makes
here
sense.
Like, well, obviously,
seriously, otherwise. You know, the teeth obviously make it easier to break the skin, but then it's like, why is he so infatuated?
Yeah. And this isn't me giving him shit. This is me just pointing out, like, it's important to understand human perspective. Because, like, he said that, and I was like, oh, shit, you know, that's interesting. Jim.
Right, sure. And so the other thing that I watched is I gave Avengers Endgame another shake. That movie still sucks. It's a 6 out of 10. Talk about, you know, Tony Stark 1 minute refusing to help with time travel and then no more than 10 minutes later solving it, you know.
Well, because he's got an itch, Jim. He just couldn't let it go.
Yeah,
he had to figure it out.
I
agree. It's not as good as the first one.
Infinity War, it's not even close. Like, they're not even in the same galaxy.
Definitely not as good as No Way Home either. Yeah.
That's a fact. Yeah, Endgame is a 6 out of 10. I don't know if I said that or if I just said that it sucks. And talk about the one line we have all always waited for, Avengers Assemble, and they decide to go with Avengers Assemble.
Who said it?
It's fucking stupid.
Who said it?
Whispers it.
Cap.
Yeah, he...
You know, and it's just a fucking whimper for this thing that they've built up for episodes or movies and movies, you know. The real crowd cheer moment is when he picks up Mjolnir, and... Yeah. Even that is maybe not as thrilling as it could have been, but it was good.
Does anybody watch any of Moon Knight yet?
I watched the first couple episodes. I'm not caught up.
It's the current Disney Marvel show going on right now on Disney Plus.
We have less than a month to Obi-Wan now, too.
Yeah.
I know the next segment is currently unavailable for the week, but I do have a small hype horn, if I may. Ozarks, absolutely. The final season comes out today. Actually, right now is out on Netflix, so that's hype, I guess.
God, I should probably watch that show.
I mean, do you like money laundering? Because it's interesting.
I like Jason Bateman.
This is probably
that helps too.
Who doesn't
this is
like
probably
money laundering?
Jason Bateman's best role in anything I've seen him in. I mean, because he kind of just plays a guy, but he plays it perfectly in this. So I've really enjoyed it, and I'm shocked it's ending already. You know, Netflix is kind of keen on dragging these suckers out, but nope, this is it. For
they're canceling a whole fuckload of shit now because they're losing all kinds of stock value and stuff, so they're cutting
what
projects
are they gonna
left
do
and right.
How is that gonna help though? Are they just trying to focus on bigger projects or what?
I mean, loss of the value of the stock doesn't truly cost them money right now, right? Because people already paid the money in for the initial offering of the stock, and that's all the money Netflix gets out of it. I don't know if they're trying to cut costs, well, and maybe buy stock back, you know, trying to increase value.
The thing about Netflix is, like, with what you have with Prime, is the reason why you even have Prime is because you have Prime to get free shipping for something else, right? And Prime Video just comes with it. And then a lot of people are bundling Hulu with Hulu Live, and, like, I think that Netflix needs to add
which now gets you Disney and ESPN Plus.
They need to add something, because it's...
Yeah, Netflix, it doesn't have enough value for what they're giving. They were moving into video games, like app-based video games, and I don't think anyone gives a shit.
And Netflix now is, like, it's still, like, the most expensive one. If you want, like, the platinum membership.
Yeah, if you want to be able to stream on, like, up to 4 screens at a time.
Right, which... all the other ones, like, if you go by their highest, you know, paid membership, Netflix, I think, is probably the most expensive.
I think HBO may be equivalent or more by, like, $1 or $2 a month. They're definitely the highest.
And
or
what
near
HBO
the highest.
Has going for it is newer movies that have been constantly been pumping out there lately.
And a massive fucking catalog. Like, honestly, I feel like it puts Netflix to shame. Netflix, in terms of originals, has been dealing in the quantity over quality game for a long time.
And the thing of...
And they're not, like, trying to extend their good series anymore. That's probably why they're canceling things like Ozark. Because the 5th season of Ozark or whatever doesn't bring in new subscribers. Brand new headlining show, that brings in new subscribers for a season or two.
Yeah.
Then they cancel shit.
They've got Stranger Things. That's, like, their cash cow, pretty much. And now that's the final season, too? Or no, there's one more, I think, after.
I think that's
5th season, which I had thought was coming out later this year, because I thought it was truly, like, a season 4, part 1, part 2.
But no, that's not the case, or...
I still think that is. I'd need to verify. I don't really give a shit about Stranger Things, so I didn't look into
it
very
much. A lot of people fell off that one, I can understand. But anyway,
I'm sorry, but it's also true.
I still love the stupidness of it. So, you know, I'm more simple-minded. And
you should like what you like. That's never a problem.
No problem with liking a movie or show. But now, good thing we don't have high porn, because this review, I feel like we could talk about for a really long time. So let's just get into it. American Psycho, starring Christian Bale. Jim, IMDb, if you have it up. Which, of course, you do. Goddamn professional.
I do. A wealthy New York investment banking executive, Patrick Bateman, hides his alternate psychopathic ego from his coworkers and friends as he delves deeper into his violent, hedonistic fantasies. This is rated R, currently streaming on HBO Max, came out in 2000, and clocks in at an hour and 42
minutes.
So
there's a couple interesting tidbits in just that description. One, I never, from the movie, could tell he worked at a bank. I had no idea. I thought he was just a...
He works at, like, a mergers and acquisitions firm.
I thought he was just a business person.
Some people may call that a bank.
I didn't understand what he did. He did the entire movie.
Him and his group of friends are definitely just a very, like, it's intentional the way it's done, but they're just it's a bunch of very, like, generic, wealthy white guys that live in New York.
Yeah, they're cookie cutter Wall Street stooges.
And it made me think to myself, well, first of all, God forbid I ever get to that stage ever in my life. Like, again, if you guys ever see me do it, shoot me somehow. But the
problem is you'll probably shoot us
first. If I'm in his shoes, I don't know what I'm going to do. But, like, God, the talking the entire movie was just so perfectly cringy among these business people together. It was just so, like, it was so perfect. But... the first scene, I think, sets the tone really well for the movie, because Christian Bale is in a nightclub with said stooges from the firm, and he orders a drink from a bartender, and when she turns around, what does he say? Like, he wants to, like, gut her like a pig or something?
Various things like that are said throughout the movie. I don't remember the specific line.
Yeah, you're a fucking ugly bitch. I want to stab you to death and then play with your blood.
So, out the bat here,
Yeah, you know what kind of movie this is.
Yeah, and truthfully, like, I mean, I know we're going on the American Psycho, like, this is how he is. Movie not exactly great towards women the entire time. I would say that of some of its flaws, that's one of the pretty big ones, is it's pretty brutally, like, whatever happened to him as a child, or because something clear, I mean, he was clearly mentally abused, physically abused, I have no idea, but, like, something tarnished his view of women, yeah, for sure. And that is, like, it's crazy. It's out of control, right. So...
The two interesting things, right, it is based on a novel, which I think would be an interesting read, and the director, wow, is a woman, so it's, well, like, it's very, it's closely adapted, I was reading, but they wanted to, I believe the book is much more
graphic,
even more violent,
yeah, and even worse towards, like, some of the misogynistic,
well, and I think... I would love to. I would love to know the backstory on, you know, on Patrick Bateman here, because, like, it clearly has to do. It's either, you know, he truly is just that mentally ill, or something happened with the parents. I'm sure it's on that side of it, because you see a couple things in the movie where you're like, okay, maybe just no one taught him how to talk to a woman or something. Like, this is brutal. But yeah, it just off the bat you kind of get that. And even the way he talks to, like, his assistant at work, like, the one of the scenes he's literally like, don't wear that again, like, and you're like, whoa, buddy, calm down. But then he
says it to, yeah, like, his receptionist or
and
assistant,
then he tries to
even
fix it by, like, you're prettier, right, than that. And he thinks he's helping her, but it's just very, it's bad. And the,
right,
I don't think he thinks he's helping her. I think he just is incapable of understanding that he's,
yeah,
hurting her feelings. He doesn't understand
that's
human
emotion. That is, like, the entire movie. I mean, there's obviously the line where he says, because I want to fit in, but truthfully, this entire movie is him, like, trying to fit in, and he clearly doesn't. That you know, one scene I want to point out, because, Jim, I bet you like this one. I don't know why I think this would be the one you like, but when he's talking about finding a table, walking into the restaurant, what does he say? He's like, I'm very nervous about walking in because I know we'll have a terrible table. And then he finds out they don't, and he's like, a cool calmness eases over me. And you're just like, holy shit. But
you're not wrong. That is something I think about on occasion. Not because I go to fancy, right, enough restaurants, but because, you know, I don't like sitting at, like, high tops. They make my legs hurt, you know, when my feet dangle, if they don't have a decently adjusted bar on the stools, you know. It's,
well,
stupid shit like that.
And
I can't
to go off
it
of that a little bit, I think because on, like, that finance and accounting side that we have, you see this a little bit more. We're very particular about the stupidest shit. And that I kind of, so, like, when he said that, I was like, I do think of really dumb things that are important to me sometimes. But, and
you can just,
yeah,
say it.
I mean, and he obviously is a lot more than I am. But, like, when he said that line, I was like, okay, this is the one time in the movie I actually can kind of, like, understand him a little bit.
And that's terrifying.
It is. And, but obviously, you know, you can differentiate certain things, but everybody has a little bit of uniqueness to them and things that they like or don't. This guy's is just fucking detrimental the entire movie. Like, it's hard to know where to go with this review, but I want to just say a couple of my favorite lines of the movie. So now his fiance correct is,
yeah, Reese Witherspoon.
Well, are they engaged?
Yeah, they're not really. No, she brings it up one time that
I think
they should get married, and he, like, kind of,
he introduces
shit
her into the movie as his so-called fiance because she's buzzing in his ear,
yes,
when they're in the limo.
And that's one of my favorite, yeah, my absolute favorite lines of the entire movie is, well, first he says, I'm trying to listen to the new Robert Palmer tape, but Evelyn, my supposed fiance, is buzzing in my ear. And then she just goes, we should do it, Patrick. We should get married. Takes the headset off immediately. No, I can't take time off work. What? I mean,
that's great.
And it's just his delivery and everything. I mean, Christian Bale in this is truly something. You know, it's a really strong performance the entire movie.
It's very committed to the wacky. Yeah. You know, like,
is it even wacky though, or is it just the fact that
it's cold?
Over the top too, but like, not like, when I say over the top, I don't always mean like in a bad way. Like, he's completely like committed to this. My favorite, like, the whole purpose of the movie is the idea of Patrick Bateman, which is what he says in the first like 20 minutes when we go through his whole morning routine where he's puts on 75 different fucking facial lotions and creams, and you know,
he probably gets woken up at 4:30 by the birds too. That's why he's got so much time
to
get ready.
I'd be killing people too if it happened every day.
He's creating this like this persona, or like this fake person to put out into the world, when inside he knows he's just a fucking cold-hearted shitbag, you know.
Well, and that's where it gets interesting, is because, I mean, slight spoiler from the end of the movie, it's hard to know what of this entire movie is true. I mean, like, of everything that happens in it, there are plenty of things that may have not actually happened in this movie, and I think that's equally terrifying. Like, that's what makes this movie so strong, is even if they didn't happen, the fact of the matter is, to him, it felt like it did. And that might be worse.
Yeah, and Bateman narrates the whole thing too, right? And so early on, you get the sense that he may not be totally reliable, just given the fact that he seems so unhinged.
Yeah.
And just the fact that he's such an unsettling character.
I mean, one of the scenes where I hope it wasn't true was he pretends that he's going to help a homeless man, ends up stabbing him, telling him he smells like shit, and then stomps a dog to death. Like, that's a brutal scene. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
That's like his first kill, or like his first taste of, you know, blood, you could say. And it only escalates from there. I will say, rewatching this, I did not remember how quickly we get into, like, the Paul Allen murder, which basically drives the rest of the movie, essentially. Paul Allen, obviously played by Jared Leto, fucking just a ridiculous person in his own right. Like, all these guys are just so full of themselves.
If you don't like Jared Leto, which is fine, I can see why you wouldn't, absolutely. Not the greatest human. This would be the movie to watch, because
I think he's incredibly good,
but I mean, like,
well, he is very good.
He fucking absolutely hates Paul Allen with a passion, and it starts because Paul Allen mistakes Patrick Bateman for Haverstrom, or whatever, whoever this Haverstrom guy,
and thinks that's who he is the whole time.
How he's just like, how Cecilia, she's a good girl, and like, and
he's got a better business card than him too.
Well, and. Right. That whole scene. Let's see Paul Allen's is arguably the best, most ridiculous.
It might be my favorite.
Yeah. He starts it off with, like, he mistakes him for Haverstrom, and Patrick Bateman's like, he's mistaken me for this Haverstrom guy, which is slightly insulting because I have a slightly better haircut. And it's just amazing to hear that. But then Patrick is like so psyched to show all these guys his new business card. And my favorite part about this, before we get into some of the lines, every single business card says vice president. They're all vice presidents. Did you notice that? Like, their titles are exactly the same. So it's like, what do they do? You know, like, it's hilarious. But, oh my God, the acting in this, I don't know if, like, he's attracted to certain fonts or what, because he's asking to see Paul Allen. He goes, let's see Paul Allen's card. His face is sweating. He's like getting off to this card. It's very strange. It's very strange.
He's very upset at how nice it looks. It's because it even has a watermark.
Oh my God. The subtle texture. It even has a watermark. And I love when he's showing off his card and they're like, oh, nice font. And he goes, that's bone. Like, or if it's the color of white, I don't know. Oh.
The color of the card is bone. I forget what he said the color of the font was.
But this, I mean, this just, a part of, a part of what's really important in this scene is nobody actually like knows who Patrick is. I mean, maybe his assistant kind of does, but all these other characters in the movie, like, I mean, half of them are mistaking him for someone else, which is
for this Halberstram guy. But it seems as though the ones he's initially looking at cards with know who Bateman is, but multiple people, including Paul Allen, I believe, refer to Bateman as some weirdo, like, yeah, nerd guy.
Yeah.
You know, which does not line up with the character you're seeing, which in front of you. Which
is interesting and maybe more pointing towards the fact that a lot of what's happening in this movie isn't happening, because him as narration presents himself as this super confident, like, handsome, attractive guy, and maybe that's just not at all the case, you know?
So is there the possibility that the visualization we see on screen is his, in his mind's eye, of what he is or what he thinks he should be, and part of the problem and why he's killing people is because he's not that person?
I think
so.
Right.
Definitely you could look at it that way.
I mean, yeah. That, and which would also then explain his problems with women as well, because he's got this idea of what he is in his head and he's not even close to that. Like, it's, and that also would be why he's kind of got this dominant complex with a specific sex scene in the movie that was very shocking. But like, I don't know, it that absolutely could be the case, that he thinks he looks like this perfect specimen and the reality is just a normal looking person. I don't know.
Because I think, are the only people that call him Patrick his assistant and his fiance? I think,
yeah, because the rest call him Bateman.
Well, that one guy that tries
true
to make moves
calls him Patrick,
calls which him Patrick or something.
This leads to true another yeah question. I'm not.
He talks a lot about closet.
I'm not fully qualified to know enough about that to talk about it, but I very much think that he is he's closetedly gay. I really do think that, because in that bathroom scene, he asked him, why don't you want to do this or something? And he's like, I can't, and just walked away. And then this was the first time we got the, where are you going to go? He needed to go return some videotapes. What an excuse.
It's a recurring line
I really think throughout the movie. For the future of my life, if ever someone's like, where were you? I'm going to say, I was returning some videotapes.
And if the person doesn't get it, you don't want to hang out with them.
But I mean, there's something there with that, for sure. But there's just so many different potential theories that you could go with in this movie. Either, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot happening with Patrick the entire time. He's very misunderstood, for sure. At least on screen.
Yeah, the guy murdering people is misunderstood.
Well, I mean, like, he can't understand his own personality is the scariest part. Like, he doesn't even really know who he is. So that's where I don't know if these murders are occurring or not. Like, he thinks he's capable of doing this, but actually, is he? And that's what the end just kind of dunks on you, where you're like, oh shit, did any of this happen?
Yeah, should we talk about the voicemail?
Well, let's start there, because then I want to confirm which one I think did happen.
So what are we talking about now?
So he calls his lawyer at the tail end of the movie, confesses to 20 to 40 murders between homeless people, prostitutes, and Paul Allen, you know?
Emphatically.
And he introduces himself on this call as Patrick Bateman. So again, another person who knows him as Patrick, so to speak. He then goes out to a restaurant the next day, where he runs into his lawyer, who he told he would probably be going in there. Because I think these people, they don't actually do any work. All they do is look at business cards and go out to eat.
Yeah, at all the same
places. And murder people.
Except for Dorsey, because it's very hard to get in.
Yeah, the only person who's able to get there is Paul Allen.
Yeah.
To which he meets the lawyer the next day in the restaurant and says, did you get my voicemail or my message? Guy is like, yeah, what an absolutely great joke. And Patrick is quote-unquote committed to the bit, keeps going, says, you know, no, I actually did it. And the guy just keeps brushing him off, you know,
He doesn't know that he's Patrick Bateman either. That's the craziest part to me, is even the lawyers, like, I don't know who you are. Like, and then he's like, it's me, I'm Patrick Bateman. And the lawyer kind of gets stone-faced a little bit there, and I'm like, oh shit, is it all real? My theory of all of this is he did kill Paul Allen. Like, that is the only one he actually did, is what I think this is. That's my answer to what happened in this movie, is because that was the one that was incredibly vivid. It was incredibly the same name the entire time. Paul Allen said all the wrong things to him, mistaked who he was talked about getting into Dorsia. Let's get into the scene where he kills Jared Leto. He takes Jared Leto to this restaurant, which is clearly not Dorsia, and Jared Leto still thinks he's Haverstram. He doesn't think he's Patrick Bateman still. And they are ordering food and just
ripping on,
God forbid you're a waiter in this movie, or like town,
and it's at like some Tex-Mex restaurant. It's just a really trashy place compared to like Dorsia.
Do you want
to
hear our specials? And Bateman goes, not if you want to keep your spleen. And you're just like, what the fuck? And of course then Paul Allen's like, we should have gone to Dorsia. Paul Allen plays the perfect douchebag, 100%. Like, he plays it so well. And then Patrick takes him back to his apartment. There's newspaper all over the ground. And Jared Leto says to Christian Bale, do you have a dog, Bateman? And he goes, no, Alan. Which,
like a little chow. Which,
funny line number one. Yeah. And then there's one of my favorite lines of the movie. Do you like Huey Lewis in the news? Because he then puts in a CD of Hip to Be Square. Yes. And this song is ruined forever. 100% for me, this song is ruined because it's such a happy, upbeat song. But what does Patrick Bateman say? He says, but truthfully, it's a song about the band's true self. And as he's saying all this, he.
You want me to read the quote right before you wax him quick? Just because I had it up here. Paul Allen asks him, is that a raincoat? He's like, yes, it is. In 87, Huey released this, their most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpiece is Hip to Be Square, which is playing in the background. A song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasure of conformity and the importance of trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself.
And as he says, Paul, axe to the face. And as he's smoking him with the axe, he goes, you wanted to go to fucking Dorsia. And it's just so perfect. And that's where I think that is the one real kill of the entire movie.
I disagree. I think he killed all of them. I think he always did him as this Patrick Bateman personality. But he's got at least three personalities. Halberstram, Harris, and then Bateman. Bateman is the one who's completely unhinged. He clearly has introduced himself to multiple people as multiple of the personalities or different ones. And so therefore he can't keep his story straight. But also that's why some people know him by one name, others know him by another. And Paul Allen doesn't mistake him. He introduced himself there as Halberstram. But for whatever reason, he also has business cards that say Patrick Bateman. So, I mean, it really goes deep on how far this guy's personality has split and how often they seem to switch.
I want to think, because I think it makes for a more interesting movie if he actually did kill all these people. So I want to believe that. There's one scene that just really just kind of fucks that up. And you can still look at it in two ways. Is the realtor scene when he sneaks back into Paul Allen's apartment and it's cleaned up and they're showing it for sale or rent or whatever. It's like, well, where did all the bodies go? So I was looking up, like, I don't want to take full credit to this because I was like looking up like explanations on like slashfilm.com or something. And the guy brought up the one good point was, well, maybe it gets even more fucked up that the realtor didn't want to scare anybody away. So she cleaned all that shit up and like doesn't want to, you know how hard it is to rent a super expensive apartment with five dead bodies if people knew they were in there or something. That I was like, that is fucked up. But this right. movie is fucked up because she looks at him so weird. She's either terrified.
She
of
feels
him
like
or
she knows something,
him.
And yeah. he's not on her schedule. You know, so why right. would he be in this apartment? No, I'm 100%
so like,
there for that.
So is she, like, putting two and two together? Okay. Like, maybe he's the one who was responsible for all these fucking dead bodies in my building?
And she's like don't fucking don't, come back,
I
basically.
Can get...
Yeah, but she just wants to sell it because she's just as fucked
let
up
me
as everybody else in this
Let
movie,
me poke one more
you know?
Hole. How, then, did the chainsaw scene... How... Okay, because, like, this is... When you're running through
know,
the entire
well,
hallway,
the
nobody heard him... or saw him sprinting naked down the hall with a chainsaw and then dropped it down six flights of fucking stairs. And
when you hear someone outside your door with kill. A running chainsaw, are you gonna go out there?
My point being is she's pounding on doors and nobody's answering, so then, which would lead to another theory of, does Patrick Bateman have all these rented out, would be another better potential theory. Or I don't know, like,
that's why his apartment's not as good as Paul Allen's, because he's renting out multiple of them.
It's one of the most amazing
yeah.
things
and,
about
and,
the movie.
And truly, like you said, Anthony, one of the greatest drops of a the greatest drop of a chainsaw.
Well, I just think we always talk about, mostly in horror films, amazing kills. That is a great kill.
The best part is he's circling it as she's going down, and then he drops it, and when he hits her, he just goes, ah! Like, he's just like, in a way, he's selling.
Covered
in
it's like blood. He won a prize.
I mean, come on, that's incredible. Like, what a fucking toss. But anyway, I think that pokes a little bit of holes in.
But then it is. It's tough. It's almost like, well, is he really shooting cops?
No way.
Cop cars,
right? It, like, you know, and he kills like seven people and then just goes to work the next day.
There's one amazing. When we're in that montage of him just kind of gunning people down, he goes into the one, and those buildings look identical, by the way. When he kills the butler or like the doorman the first time, it's like the same building he goes into next. So that's another weird thing about, like, are all these places just the same, you know? So he just pops the one guy, sprints through the hall, and he goes through the roundabout doors, comes back around, and just shoots the poor garbage man coming out of the elevator, and then runs through again. Like, it's just, he's completely lost his mind. Well, I mean, obviously.
Well, and that's point, and that's where, like you said, it is why it's such a good movie, is both are believable. Like, you leave the movie, you don't know what happened, and you'll never probably know, because, like,
that's
because it died with the author or whatever, right? You know what,
and that's what
actually happened.
So, you know, that's what makes it such a movie you can go back to, you know, because it's like you'll try to catch up or pick up on things every time you go back and watch it, even though you probably will never know.
You truly get tangled in this man's brain, and that's the scariest part about it. But I think that's a good time to just, like, let's get into the scores.
I just want to... There is one time where he shows a little bit of humanity, and that's when he invites over his Jean, his receptionist. And he was going to kill her, but he, like, opts to... Or he's able to fight off the urge.
Yeah, he stops when his fiancée calls.
I thought...
And leaves a message.
I thought for sure
phone.
She was dead as soon as she said she wanted to go to Dorsia. I thought she was done for sure. I was like, oh, shit.
I 100% thought Reese Witherspoon would bite it at one point, too. The fiancée.
Yeah.
She really was just kind of a side character.
How have we not even?
Oh,
talked
shit!
About
right, yeah. Before we go,
plays the detective.
What's so
fucking
searching for
seems
Paul?
Seems to
Allen.
Have shit figured.
100%.
Is he fucking with him
like,
too? That's the whole thing.
He definitely is. He 100%.
Supposedly, when the movie was being filmed, the director told Willem Dafoe to record it three times. One as though he had no idea, could have gone either way on Patrick Bateman. One as though he knew Bateman didn't. One as though he knew Bateman was innocent. So they're all spliced together in the movie. So it's supposed to really appear that he has no fucking clue what's going on. And really leave you guessing as to whether or not Willem Dafoe's character has his finger on him or not.
Disorient the audience. And I think that's what it does.
I mean, Patrick sells himself out borderline immediately with Willem Dafoe.
Well, he just looks like shit. Like, every time he's talking to him.
Have they found
just,
any
like,
fingerprints?
And...
Like, is this a homicide investigation?
God.
But that's really
not being able to say where he is on any of the nights either.
Like, now that I'm thinking about it, I'd love to go back and rewatch those scenes, because you could probably pick up each time when he does seem to know, and then is just like, ah, but you know, this happens. People just disappear. Nothing you can do. That's
right. Well, and then the one time when they're at the dinner and he's talking about how everyone's alibi, and they were like, yeah, he was out to dinner with blank so, and you. And, you know, and then it's like, oh, shit, he's telling him he's already not with Paul Allen at the time. Yeah.
But as usual, Willem Dafoe's incredible.
Is Paul Allen
even that's...
At one time, I even thought that maybe Paul Allen was a version of Patrick Bateman.
Like, he's killing off one of his personalities in his mind?
Perhaps. Because nobody seems to really care except for this detective. But then even though they said the one guy, his lawyer at the end, said he had dinner with Paul Allen in London 2 weeks ago. So, like, I don't know. Is he really dead or is he even real?
I love when he's asking about Paul Allen's apartment immediately. Like, doesn't Patrick even ask, did something happen, like, in his apartment or something that, like, was exactly what he did? And then Willem Dafoe's just like, I don't know. Like...
just some
he was like some suit was missing and a piece of luggage.
Anyway, I mean their give and take was pretty fantastic, and yeah, I guess it was good. It was a good cast. Yeah. It was a good cast. But let's get into the scores here. And Jim, I want to start with you.
This movie's a 10 out of 10. I can't express how much I love this movie. It was so good.
Is that the first time you saw it?
Yeah, first time ever.
Awesome.
I couldn't stop thinking about it. I wanted to talk as soon as we were done, but I didn't want to spoil content for the pod. Hell yeah. I love how there's so many options as to what could have happened. Christian Bale's unhinged character is fucking disgusting and thrilling all at once. Couldn't love it anymore. All
right, Anthony.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't quite give it a 10. It is a 9 for me. I love this movie. It's a top 3 Christian Bale performance for me. Hands barred.
No holds barred.
Whatever the saying is. No holds barred. WWE term there. But it's fucking great for all the reasons we talked about. And I love a movie that really keeps you thinking, and this is definitely one of them. Not really much to complain about other than I felt at... It's stupid. It's a stupid complaint because I think it's intentional and it's meant to make you disoriented and stuff. But I felt like just some of the cuts were almost just like too quick to where you were like, but I get it. It's probably I'm just being nitpicky and stupid or just slow minded and can't follow. But no, I mean, there's really nothing else to really complain about. It's very, very good.
I was thinking of my score, I was struggling between a 9 and a 10. And then we got to the scene, and you guys probably know where this is going to go already because it's Scotty 10 here. But when we got to the scene, when he makes that phone call, all it took for me was when he started talking about eating people, and then he just goes, I tried some brains. That's where I was like, okay, this is a fucking 10. Because, like, it's so beyond ridiculous. This movie is just so over the top, like... the entire time there's no down moment in this entire movie. Like, there's not one time where you can just not pay attention for a bit. Like, everything's important because you're trying to like get into this guy's head, and then you leave the movie, you're stuck in his head like, what the fuck happened? And that's the definition of a masterpiece to me. And this is a masterpiece 100%, like, mainly because of his performance and kind of portraying what this character was supposed to be, but it's just so over the top good, fun when it shouldn't be fun. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I think why it's so fun is because no character is taken very seriously. That's what makes it so fun, is like,
yeah, no one beyond Bateman, right? Right. Cause I mean, he's terrifying. So the viewer takes him seriously.
But like, when these people like Paul Allen's getting murdered, you don't really care about Paul Allen because he's just a dickhead that wanted to go to Dorsia, you know?
In addition to the fact that the way it's framed with the whole Huey Lewis in the News thing, is hilarious.
Probably one of the most iconic movie kills of all time. I mean, it truly is an amazing scene, yeah. But it is a 10 out of 10.
I'm glad you brought up the eating part again, because I just thought of the scene where he's chasing the girl with, before he's got like the chainsaw and he's chasing her through the apartment and she like trips and he like falls down and he just grabs her leg and he just goes and just like bites on her calf. Well, and it's just like,
because they're basically having a three-way and then one girl runs out and you're like, why is she running out? He comes up with part of her neck in his mouth.
He was fucking chomping it's just on
like,
something.
Where did the cannibalism come in? And like, that's just this movie. It's perfectly over the top. But
goes off.
That's a wrap on American Psycho, one of the more crazy movies we've watched. And what a segue into next week when we're going to go back into the world of Disney and watch a little Encanto. Jim, I can't believe last week you said we don't talk about Bruno isn't a good song. I drove down to Iowa with Cassie last weekend, and that song is a fucking jam. I don't care. I don't know what it's about in the movie yet. We'll find out, but that's a banger. No?
We'll debate.
Okay. All right. we'll save it for next week. But, let's wrap this episode up. And Jim, why don't you tell the people where they can find us?
As always, you can follow us on Elon's personal social media site at @weave_scene_that. Like us on Facebook or email us at scenethatpodcast@gmail.com. That's SCENE, that podcast at gmail.com.
Man, if you were a billionaire, would you buy social media? I don't think I would. I don't know.
No, I'd make my own.
Okay, Mr. Certain Someone on the Planet that may or may not have made his own, but anyway, next week we'll be talking about Encanto. Anthony, how did basketball season end?
What? Yeah. Like my rec league? Like 5 months ago? I mean, not all. Well, we won a couple more games. I think we finished the season with like 3 wins and lost in the first round.
Okay,
well,
you're building. You're building something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we set the groundwork laid for next year.
I like it. We'll come back stronger. All right. Well, that will do it for the 85th. 15 away from 100. 15 away, boys. Holy shit. Which actually means 17 away from 2 years worth. But for me, it's more like probably 1 year, roughly.
I think we're already jumping ahead of the curve. I think 100 is going to be one of 2 towers. We're like
that's correct. That I forgot.
50th forgot about shot. That. I might have to get drunk for that. It's the 100th episode.
Should we just get shit canned?
We should probably just do it on a Friday and just get lit off.
Let's do that. It might be. Well, I was going to say it's around Christmas time. My frame of time that it is right now is so off.
It is. It's not like only May.
So not even close to Christmas. May. It'll be like August. But anyway, all right, how do we wrap the show up? Thank you for listening to the 85th episode of the We've Seen That podcast. I'm Scott.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jim. And roll credits.